It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And of course, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And joining us now, an old friend. It's our pal, Sherry Burris, who now is a host of Good Morning Football, which airs Monday through Friday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time on the NFL Network. And she's also a host of Good Morning Football Overtime, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. on the Roku channel and airs locally here in D.C., on Fox 5 Plus, and that is Monday through Friday at noon. Sherry, hi. We're talking after a Commanders win. What do you know?
Hi. Whoa, how weird is this? It is so good to see you. It is so good to talk to Commanders. Winning a game. I mean, I don't need to tell you or, you know, the fans in DC just, I don't want to say it feels different because I don't want to get ahead of my skis, but kind of feels different, Craig.
Yeah, it sure does feel different. The new owner, GM, head coach, all the things are rolling in the right direction. So as you guys like put together the show, like for we talked to Jamie in the preseason, and I know enough about morning television to know like there's some pre-planning that happens the day before for the show. So like you guys are planning yesterday for the show today. Did you like, how do you plan for the possibility that the biggest upset of the weekend is going to happen? And then how do you handle that when all the things that you thought you may be talking about are all of a sudden not the things that everyone is talking about?
I think that's part of the beauty of Good Morning Football is you do sort of have at least a soft rundown, right? We put our answers in pencil, maybe is the best way to put it. And we kind of let the games dictate the stories and what we're going to talk about, particularly, you know, Peter being such an insider and Kyle's insight that Kyle might take you totally left field and you thought he was going to go right. And the things that, you know, we had Michael Robinson on today. So like what he sees would be different than what Jamie notices versus Kyle. So I think everyone kind of brings their own pizzazz and their own view of the same game, which when we sit down at the breakfast table and we can give our opinions and dissect these games, that's really what makes it so much fun.
As for what you guys actually dissected, like what's your takeaway from this game? I mean, Jaden's kind of the obvious, I guess, but is it him? Is there something else that you noticed? Like what is it about this game that just stuck with you as you walked into the studio this morning?
Yeah, you know, being able to have covered Washington for as many years as I have overall, I think it was 4 or 5 years, right? Being on the sidelines in the locker room with you, with the guys, what really stood out is just the confidence. I feel like particularly on offense that exuded from everybody, right? I mean, starting there with Jaden, the fact that you have this rookie third game, you know, what stands out is that clip of him looking at the sideline to Cliff Kingsbury being like, come on, like let's keep rolling here. Even Terry McLaurin saying like he came in that huddle as a rookie and said, let's go win this game. To have a young guy be able to lead grown men older than him in that moment, I think just says so much. Also, you think about Terry McLaurin, like if you look up the definition of consistency and patience, he is just tried, true, 100%. You wait for those moments because A, he's such a wonderful human being, but he's such a great football player. So to have that moment just feels like it was just such a culmination of all of it coming together finally.
You covered the Ravens quite a bit as well when you were in the area for NFL Network. Obviously, you did mostly Commanders when you were with NBC4, but then as you went to NFL Network, you were kind of Commanders-Ravens split. I'm curious what similarities you see in Lamar and Jaden, because I think during the draft process, I was resistant to a lot of those because they're different. They are different players, but I do think there's some things that are similar. I'm curious how you see that comparison as two of the most dynamic and effective runners, obviously, in the game at that quarterback position.
Yeah, and I think it would be fair that we maybe wouldn't put Jaden in that category in the beginning because obviously the college game is so much different than NFL. But now that we have the sort of small sample size, I feel like it's okay to kind of be like, hey, we're seeing the things like Lamar, like he can throw on the run. He can just tote the rock himself. And it's funny, I was talking with, we had Manti Te'o and Michael Robinson. We were just sort of talking in a commercial about what makes some of these guys so difficult to defend. And it's not just speed, but it's also like those quick movements. Like you can see Jaden put his foot in the ground and move. And that's also what Lamar can do. And that's what makes it so hard for these defenders to try to stop a guy like that. And I think we should give Jaden his flowers. He is a Heisman winner, second overall pick. I think it's okay to be able to say, like, let's appreciate all the goodness that he has. And I mean, maybe this might be a DC thing. I'm a little scared to kind of get too committed to a quarterback and afraid to get hurt again. But that's kind of what makes it you know, beautiful and makes the good times that much better, knowing there's been sort of that suffering to get to this point.
Sherry Burris, Good Morning Football, NFL Network with us here on the Hoffman Show. I think the other piece of it too that I'd be so curious to hear your insight on is like what's said about Lamar, what's said about Jaden in terms of the competitiveness and all that kind of stuff. Because I know all the things that are said about Jaden here. When you think of your time covering the Lamar and being around the Ravens, like what did people say about him as a leader, as a competitor? And I'm curious if you've heard some of those similar things as people have talked to you about Jaden.
Yeah, particularly, I guess, as you make the comparison more character-wise, I guess, than football-wise, Lamar always, you know, chatting with him. He's kind of more quiet. He kind of doesn't go much more beyond than what he needs to say in interviews. And I feel like Jaden also kind of has that cerebral, like, I'm going to just kind of be even keel, steady Eddie kind of guy, which in those big moments, that's what you want, right? Lamar getting the team all the way to the AFC Championship game. Jaden now being able to be 2-1 in his rookie year. I mean, they didn't punt in two games, right? I mean, the confidence we're seeing from him to drive this offense. You have veterans like Zach Ertz who are really buying in. I just think that the way the team is responding to Jaden shows his level of maturity, which you could definitely say kind of relates to Lamar and the fact that he's getting his guys to buy in. I mean, now we're seeing Lamar be a bit more vocal, his sense of urgency even greater to try to get to that game in February. But I think that, you know, it's the starting pieces of really seeing the character and the leadership and the man that Jaden is going to become.
You touched on Terry earlier. Just, I think those of us that covered him up close, there's such a soft spot for him seeing, you know, like what he's had to endure is like a football endure. But man, has that dude had to endure a lot as a football player. So what does it mean to you to see him have those moments, especially considering it's Monday Night Football on the stage? This wasn't amidst seven other games on a Sunday at 1 o'clock. Yeah. The fact that he did that on that stage, like what do you think that says about him and what were your kind of reaction in the moment?
He's so due. I know we're not, I might be dating myself here. We're not that far in age. I know I'm a couple years older, but I almost look at it like a proud mom of like, he's getting it. Like finally, this is the attention he deserves on a national stage. I joke, you know, his only flaw is that he went to Ohio State on Wisconsin. Absolutely love Terry just for the person he is, the player. I mean, you think about it, he was drafted in the third round. He's had 11 different quarterbacks. I mean, how many different head coaches? You could just do like a NFL 30, you know, NFL films on Terry's career to this point of all that he's gone through on and off the field, if you think about it. So the fact that Monday night, he got to have that spotlight on him in a really big moment when the team needed him most. I feel like that just all encompasses what he's brought to this organization since he got here.
Sherry Burris, of course, you remember her from NBC4 and NFL Network, now still with NFL Network, but on the West Coast doing Good Morning Football. And I'm also curious, as you've kind of expanded and gone into this national role, like what your appreciation is for the head coaching position and the different people you've covered, especially seeing the way Harbaugh does things in Baltimore with the time you spent around that team. And then what you've seen from Dan Quinn through that lens so far this season.
Yeah, and it's been really interesting, you know, getting to also do some sideline reporting for NFL when I was with CBS right after DC doing production meetings, getting to see different coaches. It's so interesting of, you know, Coach Harbaugh definitely, you know, has his sort of routine and their culture speaks for itself. You hear just how great the Ravens organization is and it's just how much there's a family atmosphere and it's very close knit. I actually had the pleasure of getting to cover Dan Quinn in Atlanta when I was in Atlanta before DC, left right before they made the Super Bowl. So I kind of got a second round with DQ there for a couple months. And he's just, the fact I think that the players can call him DQ and not just, you know, oh, Coach Quinn, there's this familiarity, right? Like he doesn't want to be this man on a pedestal and he can really relate to players. And you know, he's his backwards hat. Like, you know, if there's a backwards hat on the field at practice, like, oh yeah, there's DQ. Like I know which one he is. So I think, you know, the fact we don't hear him barking, players really respond to him well, the conversations we did have around the draft time, he's just so personable. And I could probably have just sat there and kept talking to him about football and life that it just, again, that also is translating that the players are not doing it just for themselves. And I want to, you know, this is also for Dan Quinn.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that's such a great anecdote too about like the fact that he doesn't bark. Like there is a buy-in there that is not imposed. It is truly like because they care about him and because they care about each other. And that's the kind of the atmosphere that he creates. Sherry Burris, great to see you. Host of Good Morning Football. Of course, that airs Monday through Friday at 8 on NFL Network. Of course, you can also check out Good Morning Football Overtime Monday through Friday at 10 on the Roku channel. And if you miss that on the Roku channel, it airs locally here in DC on Fox 5 Plus Monday through Friday at noon. Sherry, great to see you, my friend. We'll have to do this again later this season. Thanks for some time and enjoy the rest of the football week there in LA.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Miss the DC DMV area so much. So always great talking to you, Craig.